Turn your Bibles tonight to Leviticus chapter 16. That's just where we're going to start. We won't be there long before we move on to another verse. But I'm going to teach you something tonight that's going to be pertinent to something we're doing here. By the way, it's good to see all of you here on Wednesday night. See you all scattered around here and involved in the work of the Lord is a great, great blessing. Leviticus chapter 16. Let's read the verses. Leviticus is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book, 16. Okay, well, you know what? We'll have a time for you to be able to give me what you have in your hand and sort it out. I'll have a chance to sort it out here. I'll come get them from you. It's going to work out perfectly. I'm glad you said so. Not a crisis. Never a crisis. Leviticus chapter 16, begin with verse 7. He shall take the two goats, this is Aaron, and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord to guide us through our study tonight. Father, we're thankful today to be here. Really, it's just, I'm with Joe all the way. It is so good to be here, and it's so good to be here with all of the saints that are here tonight. God, this is truly a sanctuary away from the world, and we cherish our time together. We're so thankful, Father, for the testimony that Blake has given us from Philippians chapter 2. And any testimony of like-mindedness and similarity to the mind of Christ in this church, Father, comes solely and absolutely from the presence of your Son here, the work of your Holy Spirit here, and the honor and glory that goes to you. We are delighted to be beneficiaries of that and to savor that opportunity together. Lord, we ask you please now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit. You have something that you want to instruct us tonight on from the Scriptures, Father, and I pray that you will do that in such a way that it's very clear, very discernible from the Scripture, and very helpful to us as a church. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what happened here is that you've got this scapegoat, and what you see, obviously, is this picture where one goat is killed for a sin offering. The other one gets to go free. Jesus Christ died for our sins. We get to go free. It's a wonderful thing. And in order to make a good decision regarding which one of these is the goat that is killed and which one of these is the goat that is the scapegoat that is let go free in the wilderness, Aaron used a method that you see from time to time in the Bible. What did he do in verse 8? He cast lots upon the two goats. And by that, he was able to determine this is the one that dies in a sin offering. This is the one that goes free. So lots are used in the Bible to determine certain important matters. Not every decision was made that way, certainly. David inquired of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord just spoke to him directly and said, this is what you need to do. Sometimes they went to the priest who had the breastplate and they inquired in the Urim and Thummim, lit up in a certain way with the stones that were in the breastplate, and gave counsel from the Lord. Sometimes you just went to a wise counselor like Ahithophel, and he spoke as the oracles of God. Sometimes God impressed upon a prophet, and the prophet would speak, and he would say, thus saith the Lord, and he would speak God's words. Sometimes he would appear to a man in the night by dream and let him know what it was. There were all kinds of ways that God could direct, but in certain decisions that were made, like the choice of this goat, there was a lot used, a lot, and it was just from time to time under certain important matters. Go to Numbers chapter 26, and you'll see another case of this. Numbers chapter 26, Numbers chapter 26, and look at verse 52 for the beginning of it, if you would like, but Numbers chapter 26, which is the next book from Leviticus, and here in verse 52, Numbers 26, 52, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, here we go, 53, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To many, he's talking about dividing up the land. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to the few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To everyone his inheritance shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Okay, so you get over there and they get ready to go to the promised land. Some of these tribes, you know, might have had 80,000 men, and some of them might have only had 40,000 men, 20 years old and upward. So he says you have to give a larger piece to those that have more people and a smaller piece to those that have less people. But notice in verse 55, notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit. According to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few. So that way they could have a fair distribution. And somebody would say, well, I like those mountains over there. How come we didn't get that? Well, the lot was the determining factor and said, that's where your tribe goes, into that place. And when you get to Joshua chapter 15, then you begin to see that process after they've gone in and conquered the 31 kings. And they've gone in and they've taken the land. They've been there for nearly 5 years. And the 2.5 tribes head back across the Jordan River. Then they begin to divide up that land. Judah gets the first lot. And then they start dividing it up. Joshua 15, Joshua 16, Joshua 17, so forth. You can see them cast the lot, make the decision, and then go into their inheritance. Turn with me to the book of Jonah. Now you're like, oops, here we go again. Okay, so you get to the big prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Okay, once you get past the big prophets, then you have Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah. If you stayed with me, you have to turn fast to be able to do that. So you get through the big prophets, and then you get into Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Jonah. Now, you remember what happened to Jonah. God said, you go to Nineveh and you tell those dudes, we're going to blast them. Jonah said, right, I'm out of here. So he heads to Tarshish. He gets on a boat, and while he's there, a big storm comes up, and everybody's scared to death. And they're, verse 5, the mariners were afraid. It's got to be a bad storm for guys that are used to being on the water to get scared. And Jonah was sleeping. And in verse 7, they're trying to figure out what this storm is all about, because it's a very unusual thing. You know, at certain times of year, you can expect certain big storms. You get a big storm like this one at a time when it's unexpected. They're like, what's up? In Jonah chapter 1, verse 7, they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. So that's they smoked out the culprit. Okay, so lots, you can see, are used in a variety of ways. Choosing between two, dividing up an inheritance between 9.5 tribes, or in the case of all these guys, how many ever there were crewmen on the ship, picking out the bad guy, the guy who caused the storm. So casting lots, it, as you see it used here, allowed for God to make the choice in those matters. Okay? Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. It allows you to see his decision using that process. Proverbs chapter 16. Look in verse 33. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 33. And notice what the Bible says. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So what it does is it takes the decision out of your hand and puts the decision in the Lord's hand. That's what a lot does. And that's why under these things that you've seen here, God said, cast a lot in these cases, and that way I can show you what I want done here, or I can get the decision the way that that I need to do it. Now, I'm going to show you a reference. Here it says the lot is cast in the lap. Kind of hard for you to discern exactly what's going on there. But do you not remember that in Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, there were four soldiers. He had five garments. So they divide up four, and then that vesture doesn't have a seam in it. It's one piece. And so they cast lots to determine who gets that vesture. Remember that? Right? This kind of thing right here. The lot is cast into the lap. So it appears that lots were either cast, as in that case. And let me give you an example of what that might be. Flipping a coin. Flipping a coin would be similar to this type of casting the lot. Drawing straws would be another method. So you got five guys and one of them gets the short straw and everybody pulls and the guy with the short straw is it, whether that's good or bad. Or perhaps another one would be like picking a number within a range. I've got a number between 0 and 50, closest one gets it or has to do it or whatever the case may be. So that would be like casting a lot. There's another case in Acts chapter 1 where the lot is given forth. So go with me to Acts chapter 1, New Testament. And in this case, what happened is that Judas Iscariot transgressed, died, okay, and now there are 11 apostles and they need one more. And so they're trying to make a decision between two men as to who should replace Judas. If you look over here in Acts chapter 1, look at verse 26. Okay, I'll set it up here for you. In verse 23, they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, whose name was Justice. All right, so, or was surnamed Justice. And then there's another guy named Matthias. So you got two, Joseph and Matthias Acts chapter 1, verse 23. Now, they're trying to decide which one of these guys should be the replacement for Judas Iscariot. So in verse 26, the Bible says, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. What does that look like? Well, picking straws, but of course here it says they've given forth their lot. See which they gave forth their lots. It looks like a vote. It looks like all 11. You got Joseph, you got Matthias, and they give forth their lots. Guy that gets the most votes wins. And you know what? You know, you think about that, and it just dawned on me. How many of you vote? Well, let's don't do it this way. I'm not going to go there. We had a primary election yesterday, okay? And when you go to the polling place, they have this electronic booth there, and then they have all these names, and you check the ones that you want to do like that. And when you get down through the bottom of that thing and you have examined your ballot, there is a red button you push, and it says what? Yeah. Cast ballot. L-O-T. That's what it is. You just cast your lot. Gave forth your lot. That's what they've done here. In that way, then everybody has a say in it, but more importantly, God can lead in the hearts of each individual, and when it's done, there it is. There wasn't any campaigning. Somebody didn't have an advantage, let's put it that way. So the nice thing about lots is this. Look at verse 24. What did they do after they had two men? They appointed two, Joseph and Matthias. These guys had certain qualifications. They knew all about Jesus from his baptism all the way until he was taken up. And they'd been with these guys. All right, so in verse 24, what's the first thing they did? They prayed. So the nice thing about lots is that after prayer, they are the least contentious way to make a decision involving a number of people. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. I said they are the least contentious way for people to make a decision when you have a number of people that have to decide. In the case, four soldiers or, 11 apostles or 9.5 tribes, whatever the case may be. Proverbs chapter 18, The Bible tells us about this process. Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse 18. And what does it say? The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. In other words, what it does, you try to eliminate any kind of contention that could come up. So lots prevent contention. And I'll give you several reasons why. First of all, they're secret. You put your name on there. I mean, when I voted yesterday, I just had a number that was assigned to me that would give me a code to access the thing. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, you would only know what primary I voted in. You wouldn't know who I voted for. They're secret. And the nice thing about them being secret is that you can express how you believe the Lord is leading you to decide without any concern about what others might think when you express yourself. Like, for instance, if I were asked to cast a lot and I felt strongly one way and I said so, you might find it very disagreeable that I said, hey, I don't like that idea at all. But so when it's secret, there's no pressure, as Hofmeister said. First of all, that's the first thing. Second thing, they eliminate the pressure to go along with something that another person has already voiced with which you might disagree. Like, for instance, let's say we're in here and we're trying to make a decision. I say, what do you think about this? And somebody says, well, I think we ought to do that. You might not think so, but you may like the person who just said that. And you may feel, I can't really say it now, and I don't want other people to think. And what would I, you know, why go through all that complication? You ever felt that before? Not in a like-minded church, of course, but but you can sense how that pressure might be there. You may really feel pretty strongly about something, but you see two or three people nodding their head. You're kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to speak up now because, I mean, I want everybody to like me when I leave here today. So, you know, just kill it. So that pressure's gone. The secrecy is there. And I'll tell you another thing. There's no respecter of persons. Everybody gets one. That's really good. It's just as fair as you can make it. Because, you know, it doesn't make a difference whether you how much you give or don't give or who you are or who you're not or anything, as long as you are a member. And you know what? In the church here, we've used lots on occasion, and they seem to have worked very well. I think we did that when concerning Randy as associate pastor. Just fill out a little piece of paper, pass the thing in. We'll take a look and see if there's enough to do it. It was marginal, but he got in. No, in other words, truly then what it becomes, it is a true expression of the hearts of the people. Okay? So when you see it in the Bible and you see how they use that in Acts, then we think, okay, that's a good thing. So you say, well, where are we going with this? First of all, where I'm going with it is, it's good to learn about these things from the Bible. Okay? Secondly, we're going to use these as a method to help us make decisions as it concerns missionaries. We've been praying for a pretty good while now. You know, what do you want to do about maybe giving some money to help out with projects? What do you want to do about maybe taking on some missionaries for support? And that process has worked. I have no complaints with it. But it has a tendency to do this. If somebody says, you know what, I think we ought to take help the guy, then it just sort of has a tendency to set the tone that that's what we're all going to do. But one person is basically the one that got to speak first, and that may or may not really be what the Lord wants us to do. And so when you do it in the form of a lot, it eliminates all of that. So we're going to start using that method, I think, to make decisions concerning missions, and we believe this is the best way that the Lord then can determine for the church what he wants us to do and still make it a decision of the church, okay, as a whole. Now, I'll say this. There are times when we pray every day about missionaries that call to come in, and sometimes we pray and we're looking for the Lord to direction on that. There are times when a missionary is going to come in here and his work here amongst us is not going to have anything to do with this church doing much more than giving them a nice love offering and seeing them go on down the road, because they will have accomplished something for us, or we will have accomplished something for them, and it doesn't involve anything more than that. As an example, we got Brother Solis back here tonight. I'm very sure that he is very happy that Doug Rose, the missionary to Chile, was here for a conference. You know why? Because his testimony really spoke to Brother Solis and was a very key piece that the Holy Spirit used to bring him to Jesus Christ. And that work was accomplished. There was no need or necessity. So from time to time, you may find that a missionary comes here and we may or may not have a vote concerning that particular missionary. And what you'll find is that under those circumstances, there may be something that we've known or something that we've already determined or whatever that just makes sense that this is not something the Lord's leading us to do. But if we don't have any compelling reason not to bring a name, then what we would do is say, okay, here's what we want to do. And I'm going to let Randy explain the process more to you here in just a minute, but I just want you to understand that as it concerns decisions that we need to make regarding these things, it seems the best way to do it is by a lot. And then God can just use that as a determining or as a way of expressing His will for the congregation. Is that all pretty clear? That's good, isn't it? I like that. I think that's real clear, and I think it's very much from the Scripture. What I'd like to do now is just simply have a word of prayer, close this part of the Bible teaching. Then I'm going to ask Randy to come. He is the one that's been dealing with all of our missionary call-ins and so forth, and I'm going to get him to explain to you this particular lot for tonight. Father, we are so thankful to be here, so thankful for the opportunity to be able to speak now from the Scripture about some things we think are going to be very beneficial for our congregation. And I'm asking you, Lord, to help us with the instruction that we've seen here to truly do your will. That is our supreme desire, Father. As we saw in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Father, we want to know your mind concerning these very, very important decisions that we make regarding missionaries, their support, their special needs, and your desires for this congregation. We trust you, Lord. We trust your Scripture. And we are delighted, Lord, to have the opportunity to be in a position to be able to do something, Lord, to help out. And we ask you now to bless this work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.